Stay up to date on the green and gold all season. The Green and Gold Fix podcast is brought to you by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Luxury stay, elite play, unwind in sophisticated comfort. Win big, dine, and experience the events in Milwaukee.
The name of this show is Weekly Will Be. We typically do it every week. This will be the final time we do it every week, at least for a couple more weeks. That's three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Will Be. I'm Alex Strofe with you. The Philadelphia Eagles defeat the Green Bay Packers in the wild card round of the playoffs and go ahead and win the whole damn thing. The Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions following a big win over the weekend over the Kansas City Chiefs. Jason, the football season is officially in the books.
It is. It's sad.
It is.
Isn't it?
It is.
And now we're going to be, we're going to go from Weekly Wildy to Occasional Strofe, or whatever it is we're going to call our monthly gatherings until training camp. Look, I took a lot of grief from old boy for my list of five things that the Packers can learn from the Eagles. I think they were all outstanding observations, some of them more obvious than others. And I'll expound on them in a story in the State Journal on Sunday. But look, there's no transitive property of football, right? It's not A equals B, B equals C. So A equals C, like we learned in algebra. Even at UW Stevens Point, I'm sure they covered that.
Nice wink.
Thank you. I love Stevens Point. I love the Pointers. I have some good friends up there, and occasional alumni as well. But this idea that, well, the Packers played them tougher than the Chiefs did or the Commanders did, the fact that that's a part of the thinking, that I can't get on board with. But I do believe the fact that with a rusty Jalen Hurts and with a Packers defense playing really well, I don't think the gap is as big as it felt as you watch the Eagles march to the title. And I do think that those things on the to-do list are things that the Packers can do, right? I think they can improve their front four pass rush, whether that's through addition, whether that's through improvement from the guys that didn't adjust very well to a new 4-3. I think they can improve there. I think Goody's got to give them a depth charge on the offensive line. They were very fortunate that their guys played all season. And you saw what an outstanding offensive line Philadelphia has and what a difference maker that is. The Packers starting five was pretty good. But as we saw when Elgton Jenkins went out, it was, as Tausch likes to say, Katie bar the door. Telly Monster and Crispin Glover were not getting it done. The play action, I keep thinking about the touchdown pass, the dagger throw to make it 34-0, and that is pure, unadulterated play action. And again, I ask you, how many times do you feel like you saw that during the course of the Packers season? That, like, traditional play action pass. Not very often.
Yeah, very rarely.
Right? So that, you know, Tausch, the one that he, of course, jumped on and ignored the ones that I thought were pretty smart, was the cheap, inexpensive free agents. Getting Zach Bond and having him play at that level. Obviously, every team wants to do that. The reason it's germane to the Packers is because Goody has done it before.
Yes, he has.
And he needs to do it more. Those are the types of guys you got to take some flyers on. And so he did it with Keyshawn Nixon. He did it with Devondre Campbell. He did it with Rasul Douglas off the Arizona Cardinals practice squad. Those are three examples of guys that, you know, one of them did exactly what Bond did and was a first-team All-Pro. Now, you should have never re-signed him because he caught lightning in a bottle, Devondre Campbell did. But, again, so those four. But to me, the biggest one and one that, you know, I'm sure you want to explore because you're a smart guy is the Jordan Love running aspect. Like, it just changes the dynamic of your offense to have that threat. And if you want to look at why Saquon Barkley was great, reason number one is Saquon Barkley is great.
Yep, that's correct. Yeah.
But number two is, you know, they have this great offensive line. I wouldn't even put that at number two. I would put it as the threat of Jalen Hurts being able to run and make plays with his legs also helps your running back be more productive. And Jordan Love, I understand he had leg injuries. I get it. 83 rushing yards on the season. Jalen Hurts, 72 rushing yards in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Alone.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. In terms of Love's mobility. Now, I think you and I would agree, the injuries certainly played a role, right? Whether it be the MCL, the groin. I would imagine those limited his mobility. Thus why we saw the lack of play action. Thus why we saw the lack of him running around. What did you say it was? 83 yards all season?
Yeah, 83 yards.
Yeah, that's bad, considering Malik Willis had more rushing yards than that this season. And Jordan Love, by no means is he a scrambler. He's not Lamar Jackson. But he can move. And we saw that certainly, I almost said his rookie year, his first year as the starter now 2 years ago. He can move a little bit. And I imagine that those injuries played some sort of a role. So we'll see how the Packers and Matt LaFleur attempt to fit maybe more of that into the game plan, both the play action but also Love becoming a little bit more of a rushing threat, because Hurts was one. And clearly we see how well that worked out for that Eagles team. I'm only going to ask this follow-up because you said it and it triggered something in my mind that I've been wondering. So just real quick on this. Zach Bond, you mentioned him. All pro season, the former Wisconsin Badger in Philadelphia, is going to be a free agent. I mean, this is similar to the Devondre Campbell situation. Do you think Philadelphia pays him this offseason, or do you think they let him walk and get that money elsewhere?
I don't know enough about their cap situation, but I looked at their free agent list. He's a damn good football player.
Sure is.
But they've got some others also that are going to be free agents. So, look, this is why the league is difficult, right? It's hard to keep teams together. You never have the same team 2 years in a row. Rodgers used to always talk about that.
Yeah.
But in this instance, you know, again, I'm not – I don't think Zach Bond, just from what I know of him and from what other people tell me of him, is not of the same cut from the same cloth as Devondre Campbell.
No, he is not. I can confirm.
So I feel much more comfortable paying him if I'm the Eagles than I just never had a great feeling about Campbell when he was here, and I thought Rasul Douglas might be a flash in the pan, lightning in a bottle guy, and I was wrong about him.
You were, yeah.
So he was, and they should have never traded him. And I always say this, but if Goody really believed he wasn't rebuilding, he doesn't trade him at the trade deadline.
100%.
He just does.
You know, you're 100% correct.
But I also thought Devondre Campbell caught lightning in a bottle, and he had a longer runway of pedestrian play. And the moment I knew that he was not a guy that I wanted was when he claimed that the Packers used him better than all the other places, and that he was capable of being the player he was with the Packers if he had been allowed to do that in the other places. And then when things started to go south in Green Bay, what does he, of course, say? He's being misused there too. Then he says it in San Francisco, and then he quits on his team. So Zach, I don't want to put Zach Bond even in the same sentence as him, because Zach Bond, there's no denying his character. I think you talk to people at Brown Deer, et cetera. They know the kind of kid he is.
Friend of Mr. Irrelevant. Yeah, really good dude. So we will see.
He's
what
a friend of yours?
Not of mine, but he's been on the show before.
I was going to say, I was going to have to question everything about his character then.
No, that's fair. That's fair. No, when our buddy Chris Orr would occasionally jump in and co-host Mr. Irrelevant with me. Congrats to Chris Orr, by the way, joining the Kansas City Chiefs staff.
Are you going with him?
We'll see. I'm going to let my agent handle that. But in the meantime, I'm here with you talking Packers, Jason.
Assistant quality control coach.
Yeah. I'd be horrible at that. That sounds like an awful idea for anybody that would be making that decision. All right, let's talk about the big story of the week, which is a story, Jason Wilde, I don't want to say broke, but it was from your story in the State Journal about a possible reunion between Jets wide receiver Devontae Adams and the Green Bay Packers. Obviously, where there is smoke, there is certainly fire, Jason. And that's seemingly the case here with Devontae Adams, who the Jets are in a rebuild. They're going to move on, the report is, from Aaron Rodgers, which means they will likely move on from Devontae Adams via trade or just by, you know, cutting him and making him a free agent here less than a month now from the start of the new league year. You said in your story, a source close to Adams said, quote, he'd be open to a reunion in Green Bay. Tell us more about your story in the State Journal and why this reunion makes sense.
I think it makes sense for both sides. Again, I think I don't want to go so far as to say that Devontae will have a robust market, because I don't know that for certain. But I know Jeremy Fowler from ESPN reported that the Rams and the Chargers and even the 49ers, who are moving on from Deebo Samuel, could have an interest in him. I know Adam Schefter said on Jen Gabe and Chewy that he thinks Devontae at this point in his career would land around $16 million a year from a contract perspective, which I don't know about you, but the guy still managed to have a 1,000-yard season going to a train wreck Jets team and missing time while he was injured with the Raiders. He is not cooked. He is not washed. And so I just think he's the perfect fit. And again, full disclosure, obviously he is one of my guys and I have a great relationship with him. I can correspond with him. I want him back in the locker room, and he knows that I want him back in the locker room, because I mean, he won our Tom Mulhern Award. He's the only one who's won it three times. Like, he's one of my all-time favorites. That said, beyond my selfish desire for him to be back for my job, more importantly, I personally believe, even if his name was Devontae Strofe, that he's the perfect fit for what this team needs. And that is a veteran number one who doesn't have to be a number one for the next 5 years, right? T. Higgins, if you were to, you know, let's say the Bengals do the Devontae Adams dance with T. Higgins and they tag him and trade him. I'm not interested, if I'm Goody, in a guy that I could have drafted instead of Love, by the way,
yeah.
Giving up draft capital. Let's say it costs what it costs the Raiders to get Devontae, a one and a two. And paying him an exorbitant contract and having him as the clear-cut number one for the next 5 years, because mm-hmm. that's what you're paying for. In Devontae, you get a guy who still is not going to be inexpensive, but is certainly not break-the-bank expensive now at this point in his career at age 32. You get a guy who could be your number one, walks in and is your number one, and can also, as Jordy did for him, and as did for Jordy, and as Driver did for Jennings, and as Freeman did for Driver, and as Brooks did for Freeman, and as Sharp did for Brooks, he can mentor, whether it's Dontavion Wicks or Jaden Reed or both, or Romeo Doubs or even Christian Watson, and teach those guys the ropes of how to be a true number one. Because what they have and what they've had is no one to do that. And one of the great things about the Packers' history at number one wide receiver is that they're all homegrown, organic guys, and there was a clear succession plan, if you will, until they traded Devontae and made Alan Lazard their number one wide receiver. So I just think he can be your number one for the next 2 years if he wants to stick around as someone passes him by, as Jordy Nelson would have been happy to do when Devontae had clearly passed him by, but still could be really productive. And Goody decided not to keep him for the one more year he wanted to play in Green Bay. I'm telling you, this is a perfect fit in my estimation. And also, for a guy who wants a gold jacket, I think he knows that Jordan Love is nothing like the guy that in 2021. And he still isn't there where you want him to be, and he certainly isn't Aaron Rodgers. But I have to admit, and Devontae has to admit, I think both of us have, that Jordan Love has become something that we did not think he would be when we watched him in 2020 and 2021. He's way better than that. And that doubt has been removed. I don't know if he's ever going to be a top five quarterback, but he's a hell of a lot better than what Devontae thought he'd be getting if he stayed and Rodgers left.
Yeah, that part of the story would be awesome too, right? I mean, he left because of the uncertainty around Rodgers and the uncertainty around Love, without saying it directly.
I mean, he left. Those reasons were secondary and tertiary after he was really pissed off that he had to play the 2021 season and not have an extension in place. And all he did was went out and set franchise records for receptions and yards. after tying the franchise record for touchdown receptions the previous year.
It might be lost on us because it's been a few years how damn good Devontae Adams was in Green Bay. I mean, he was the best receiver in the league. He was number one in the NFL, and he still has his legs underneath him, as you just pointed out. Like, he's still a really damn good player despite the age and the fact that Goody typically stays away from guys in their 30s. But Devontae Adams is one that seems worth it. You said last week on this very program when we played the percentage game, you think it's a 51% chance Devontae Adams is a Green Bay Packer in 2025. I've given you a week. Is it still 51, or has that number moved up?
I don't think I can change the number, because who the hell knows, right?
That's fair.
I mean, let's be honest. The part of the problem, frankly, is I don't have the faintest idea what Goody wants.
I was just about to ask you that. Yeah.
You know, look, if you're going to say things, and Tausch likes to give me a hard time, my relationship with Goody is solid. It's like, I would say that he and I were tighter when he was a scout and when he was a lieutenant under Ted. And, you know, there have been some times where I don't think he's been honest with me.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I try to be honest with everybody. But we're good. Like, we get along fine.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I don't know what to believe sometimes when he says stuff, right? And I always say this about Ron. Ron could tell you to go to hell, Ron Wolf, or God, is that a stupid effing question, Jason? Okay, you're right. But if you could answer it anyway, that'd be great. But the thing with Goody is that Ron never lied to me. Like, he never once. And so I don't know, like, for example, and this, it's strong to use the word lie, mislead maybe is a better word, but like the whole Aaron Jones thing, like, he knew he was going to ask him to take a huge pay cut, and yet he kind of presented it to the world like, oh, we're not going to let him get out the door. Devontae Adams, you know, if you read that story, going back in the archive and looking at what he said in February of 2022, you know, again, I this is one of those instances where I'd like to call it what it actually is, but I don't, I know you like to, this gets replayed on ESPN Beaver Dam, BS.
Bologna sausage. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you know, so again, I don't know, but here's my point. When you go out and say very explicitly, we have to increase our sense of urgency, it's time for this team to start competing for championships.
Yeah.
And you have uncertainty with Christian Watson, who is not going to be back until November at best. And I still say there's uncertainty with Romeo Doubs. He had his, you know, stay home from work because my feelings are hurt. He had the first concussion. He had the illness, which leads to Watson playing when he shouldn't have, which leads to him blowing out his knee. And then he gets the concussion in Philly where he, like, that's, you know, I get along great with Romeo. I don't think he should have stayed home from work when he was unhappy. I think you communicate, but I was worried for him. Mm. Like that, like, he had the guardian cap on and he still was in la la land there. And so you start to get into a Tua situation where you're worrying about, you know, what does this mean for this guy's football future? So
totally.
they have a wide receiver need, believe it or not. Like, they drafted six guys over a 2-year span. Two of them aren't with the team. One is out until at least November, and the other guy, there's a question mark too. Suddenly now you're looking at the four guys that you know will be ready are Reed, Wicks, Heath, and Melton. That's not enough.
That's not good enough, yeah, frankly.
To me, Devontae makes sense on a bunch of levels. They've got the salary cap space. Are they going to also trade for Max Crosby? I don't know. But I'm curious to see how this plays out, because I do think Devontae is the exactly right guy at the exactly right time, as opposed to a T. Higgins or drafting a guy in the first round or whatever it might be.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, we will see. This is the one that makes the most sense to me, but you never know with Goody. He is obviously the most interesting part of this, because things did clearly not end super well with him and Devontae Adams. He gave him what he wanted. He traded him to where he wanted to go. But there was a little bit of fury between the two of them. So we will see if a couple of years can mend that relationship and mend that gap. But we've got about a month until anything can happen. So we will see on that front. Want to run through the list of Packers free agents, five in particular, and just want to pick your brain on if you think they'll be back or if they'll hit the open market. We talked about Josh Myers last week. You compared it to John Runyon, the former right guard of the Packers, who obviously signed a nice deal with the New York Giants this past offseason. You said last week you think that's probably what will happen here with Myers, and they can fill from within that center position. I think he's an interesting one, because he's going to hit the open market. I agree with you on that. But will a team offer as much as the Packers will, right? Will he mean as much to another team as he means to the Packers is the question that pops into my head with Josh Myers. I lean, it's like 50-50 for me. I can't really make a prediction one way or another.
You gave me grief for going 51% on Devontae. Now you just said grief. It's 50-50 on him.
I didn't give you grief. I said you said 51% last week.
Kind of did. No, but last week you did when I said 51.
No, I said, wow, that means you think it's more likely he's on the Packers than he's not.
By 1%.
By 1%. Right,
whatever. Revisionist historian Alex Strofe. Look, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't expect Josh Myers back.
Okay.
I don't even get the sense that Josh Myers expects Josh Myers back.
Okay.
I suppose it's possible that he finds a marketplace that is unfriendly. I don't think so. He's coming off his best year, and I understand Pro Football Focus didn't have him highly rated, but there is value in him. If he were to find a, you know, kind of a Sahara Desert of a market where he's not getting anything really appealing, does he come back on a 1 year prove it deal for a chance to have a good season, and then, you know, maybe take another bite at the apple a year from now? Maybe. I think somebody's going to pay him. I think he's a proven enough center. And I think people look at him and say, look, this guy's arrow has pointed up now. Maybe not at that angle, maybe more about this angle.
Yeah,
but the reality is that I don't expect him back. And so then what does their starting five look like left to right to start, say, training camp? I would assume it's going to be Rashid Walker at left tackle in a contract year, mm-hmm. by the way, yeah. right? Year four. Yeah. It's going to be Jordan Morgan at left guard.
Yep.
It's going to be Elgton Jenkins at center. It's going to be Sean Ryan at right guard. And it's going to be Zach Tom in a contract year at right tackle. That's some potential fluidity that they're going to have to deal with. And again, that's great. I feel okay about that starting five. Now, in fairness, we all talk about Elgton Jenkins as a center. But when he played center, he wasn't as great as he is as a left guard.
It wasn't beautiful. No.
You know, obviously it was a rainy night against the Lions. That was a factor, certainly. But, you know, they put him at right tackle for a while there a couple of years ago when he was coming back from L, which was the worst place to put him, right? Because of the ACL tear that he had. It was I think it was his left leg. And so when he would push off, it was a factor for him. Maybe he's not as versatile as we think, mm-hmm. right? And so does that change the calculus for them on what they're doing, either with Josh Myers or if they're going to just, you know, are they just going to make Jacob Monk the center and leave Leave Elton Jenkins. Edgerrin Cooper is going to play left guard. Breaking news.
That'd be fun.
Weekly Wildy.
Wow.
Or are they going to, like, is Jacob Monk going to be ready to go? I thought it was interesting that they played Telly Monster and Travis Glover when Elton went out, and Jacob Monk didn't, like, they clearly didn't think he was ready to play in a playoff game. And if the other two guys were as bad as they were, then you find yourself wondering, well, what did they think of Jacob Monk? Right? So it's going to be really interesting what they do up front.
It is. And obviously that's a big piece of it. If he's back, obviously nothing changes. If he's not, well, you're going to have to try some stuff in camp. This name I'm really intrigued by, because you just mentioned for Josh Myers, there could be a potential where he walks into a Sahara Desert of a market, I think is what you said.
That's probably a little bit of hyperbole, but yeah.
I don't know if it's hyperbole for this next guy. Eric Stokes, the former first-round pick. His Packers tenure hasn't been beautiful. I mean, let's just put it like that. I'd be surprised if he wasn't back at this point. I'm going to be honest with you.
What?
One-year prove-it deal, depth piece. They're not going to bring him back as CB1, but they need cornerback help. He's a guy who's already in the building. He knows the system. He struggled, but I have, maybe I'm completely wrong on this and they're over him. I would not be surprised if Eric Stokes is back in 2025.
Bold.
Do you think that's bold?
Well, I feel like he's looking at it as, I need a reset.
Change of scenery. Sure. Which would make complete sense.
I think, it's pretty clear that as of right now, he is third in the pecking order, assuming Jair's not on this team.
Right.
He's third in the pecking order behind Keyshawn Nixon and behind Carrington Valentine.
Yep.
And if I'm a first round, I believe in myself, and I'm sitting there going, forget these guys. If I'm going to take a prove-it deal, I'm going to take it somewhere else where they don't have preconceived notions about me.
Sure.
But again, like it's the old saying that Tausch has said for years, because he's a seventh-round pick, seventh-round picks constantly have to prove they belong in the league. First-round picks constantly have to prove that they don't belong in the league before they're finally out of the league. So the guy was a first-round pick. Teams are going to look at that. That does matter. They're going to say, we can fix him. We can make him the player that was a first-round pick. So I disagree with you. But again, all these guys, that's the weird thing about free agency this year for this team. Like, because of the way they're constructed and because they leaned so heavily on the 22, 23, and 24 draft classes, I think you can make an argument that the best player out of their draft out of their class of free agents might be Isaiah McDuffie. Maybe.
Yeah.
So my point is that they're in a weird place where no one is like a clear-cut must re-sign guy. And at the same time, they're on the verge of their 2021 draft class being kaput and no one being there from it. And by the way, their 2020 draft class, because I don't foresee them bringing back the mayor of Door County. That'll be all they'll have to show for that draft class will be Jordan Love.
That's correct.
And it wasn't that long ago.
No, it was not. I wasn't even going to ask you about A.J. Dillon. I just figured that one was kind of a done deal, but we will see, I guess. The only must resign, and I'm not even saying this jokingly, to me is Brandon McManus, the kicker. You don't want to go through those kicker troubles again. And he was consistent, so why not, right? So that's how I view Brandon McManus. You mentioned Isaiah McDuffie, which brings me to the linebacker room. Eric Wilson is a free agent. They like him on teams. They like him as a depth piece. They like him as a vocal leader. That seems like kind of a layup, but I guess nothing's a guarantee in the National Football League. How do you see Wilson playing out?
Yeah, I think he's a must re-sign and will be re-signed.
Okay, yeah.
I think Bisaccia loves him. He proved that he's more than just a special teams guy.
Sure did.
And if Cooper, who we're all excited about, right? No one more so than Jeff Hafley. But who everyone's excited about, He did have injury issues during his rookie season. You know, he plays with his hair on fire. Those types of players do get injured.
Mm-hmm.
Sure is nice to have a wily old veteran at the ripe old age of 30 on your roster who can step in and play at a pretty damn high level like he did. So, yeah, I don't see them letting him get out the door. The question I have is, did he play well enough on defense that paying him the veteran minimum will be insufficient?
It's a good point.
And another team will say, hey, we're going to give you a little bit more than the Packers are willing to give you. We think you prove that you deserve more than the vet minimum.
I frankly think he does, but we will see how that one plays out. Man, what are we going to do for the next month as we just sit and await the new league year on March 12th? I'm itching already. The NFL season's been over for 2 days, and maybe you view this differently given your other line of work with the Wisconsin State Journal, but I'm already bored and it's Thursday.
Yeah, I'm not bored at all. Got a gymnastics meet. We got a volleyball tournament. We got a basketball tournament. Those are much more important than any of the other crap. But yeah, you're right. Look, it's the dead time of the year. But the good news is the scouting combine is like a week and change away.
Yeah.
That's always the kickoff to the new season. I still don't understand how coaches have stopped going.
Yeah, that's really interesting to me. Do you have any insight on why that is?
So they record all the interviews with guys.
Okay.
And look, first of all, I should not be casting any stones because any opportunity I have to be with my family, I want it. Right. Mm-hmm. And so these guys, I was talking to Jason Rebrovich at one basketball tournament because his daughter is a fifth or sixth grader and they were playing while we were getting ready to play. And then I saw Steno at another basketball tournament because his daughter's the same age as Sid. And like Adam Stenovich, for example, this was 2 weeks ago. It was the first time he'd seen her play all year. And so you don't have to worry about me taking Chris Orr's job and working as a quality control coach because I couldn't do it, right? I mean, I am probably to an unhealthy level dedicated to my family. I could never do that job because Rebrovich was like, yeah, this is the only time I'll probably get to see her play. It was the bye week.
Wow.
So, yuck. No, thank you. But my point is that if part of the reasoning is it's a grind to be a coach and let these guys stay home and get, you know, work on some projects from home to be around their families, I'm not in any position to judge. Now, that said, in the NFL, you know, Steno's point was, you know, I'm trying to give these guys a better life than I had growing up. And that's what I keep telling myself. And, you know, I think Jason Brabel, who's another coach that I really liked, is the same way. But all that said, I don't understand how you don't want to be there. Like from a networking perspective, you don't know what you're going to pick up. Like,
right.
you sit down with a prospect and have a conversation and something clicks and you're like, I'm going to look back on going to the combine and saying, that's why we got Edger and Cooper.
That is the moment. Right.
As an example.
Totally.
Right. And so the idea, and it's not the same to watch a record view with a prospect that the scouts do and you're not in the room. Like, and look, LaFleur's not the only one. Sean McVay's the one who started this trend. And then, you know, then Shanahan and all those guys from that tree stopped going, and then others stopped going. Like this, I don't get it. But again, if they all want to spend more time with their families, I don't begrudge them. It just is, you know, I one of my favorite stories from one of those meetings was when Ron Wolf, they were sitting down with Dan Morgan, the linebacker from the University of Miami, who went on to a great career derailed by concussions with Carolina. And he's in there with the scouts and the coaches, and Wolf walks in and says, Dan Morgan, Ron Wolf, you're one hell of a football player. If you're there at number, I think they're picking like 18th or something like that, you're a Green Bay Packer. And then if you remember that draft, that was the draft where they traded Hasselbeck and moved up to 10th. I think they were picking 17th because that's because then Seattle took the 17th pick and picked Steve Hutchinson, who's a Pro Football
Hall of Famer. Yeah, not a bad pick, yeah.
But they trade up. They're up at number 10 now, and we all are thinking it's Dan Morgan, obviously, in the room. And they hand out Dan Morgan's bio. But it was Ron Wolf's, like, lame duck final draft, and he deferred to Mike Sherman, who was taking over as GM. And Mike Sherman picked Jamal Reynolds.
Yeah.
So, again, to me, I mean, maybe that's an example of you shouldn't let the coach go because somehow he managed to pick Jamal Reynolds. But the bottom line is I am surprised that it has evolved the way it has.
Yeah, and it certainly has. Well, that will do it for us today. We will be back with you in a couple weeks to break down free agency. We're going to give Jason a few weeks off to go watch some more basketball games and gymnastics meets and all the in-betweens, given all he does for us during the football season. We've been doing this for 6 months already, Jason. This has been an absolute blast to pick your brain every single week. I look forward to doing it again next year and throughout the off season, but we'll give you a couple weeks off in the meantime. Thanks for doing this, my friend. It really was a blast, and look forward to our continued chats throughout the off season.
Yeah, this was your idea. I don't know. You do that cheapo free Zoom, so I don't know how long I have to talk here.
About 2 minutes.
Okay. But you obviously know I try to give you a hard time from time to time just because otherwise your ego would get out of control.
It already is.
But you know what high regard I hold you in. This was your idea. I always tell people there are people that work a hell of a lot harder than I do. I get to talk about sports for a living and write about sports for a living. But this was an extra thing on my plate. It ruins my workout schedule on Thursdays. But I'm really glad you wanted to do this. I think that not only have I had a great time, but I think it's been a really good, you know, avenue for our fans to get more insight that maybe they don't get, because I talk more on this show than I do on Wilde and Tausch and that kind of thing. But it's been great. I don't love, you know, we're gonna give me a couple weeks off from this show because I got a lot of other
yeah, correct,
still going
correct,
on.
Yes.
But I think monthly Wilde in the off season is fine, but there is no negotiation to be had here. We'll be back for this for another season. This is an awesome thing. And I, again, I can't be more appreciative to you for coming up with the idea. So I'm a little bit intrigued by the fact that you came up with an idea that created more work for someone else. I always try to avoid those types of ideas. It was well worth it.
Yeah. And that's why I came up with the idea. All right, we'll be back with you in a couple of weeks. Enjoy the offseason. Watch some college basketball or something. I don't know. Find Jason on social, though, for all Packers news. At Jason J. Wilde, you can get me at Strofe ESPN and at Alex_Strofe on Twitter. Thanks, as always, Jason.
Recording.